Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Tuesday, and welcome to yet another Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. Yeah, you can't get rid of me that easy. Actually, you can't get rid of me. I'm doing loads of these. Anyway, we begin today's podcast with a bit of a Manchester United chat. And after being knocked out of the FA Cup at the quarterfinals, the only real chance of silverware for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is, of course, winning the Europa League. So what constitutes a good season? And could the Norwegian be sacked if United fail to win the Europa League for a second time? We'll get the take from Troy Deeney and the former United number two. That sounds wrong. Anyway, Steve McLaren. John, a caller on Andy Goldstein's Drive Time show yesterday, but we kick off with the former Liverpool midfielder Daniel Murphy.
United competing in Europa League is not good enough, first and foremost. The fans know that, the club know that, Ole knows that. You know, not progressing in the Champions League was a massive, massive blow for them. Yes, they're going to get in the top four, but so they damn should. Yes. Now, he's in a position now where the Europa League, for me, has become monumental for him and the club. I'd be very surprised, and I like him, I'm not one who wants to see him just thrown away, because I do think they've made some strides forward. But Manchester United have to be doing better.
A game in the Premier League or in Champions League or Europa League or in the FA Cup against top teams, it takes a lot out of you. Unfortunately, tonight it caught up with us.
They can't be blaming tiredness for a loss at Leicester in the Cup and the squad not being strong enough. Squad should be strong enough. If they don't win the Europa League and only finish in the top four, I think they'll make a change.
If they finish in the top four and they finish second, that is great progress.
Yep.
Great progress from young players, the squad, the buying of Fernandes, the maturity, because it's not young, but relatively immature, I would say. I think it's a great season if he finishes his second Champions League next season, because he didn't have it this season. That's progress.
And he's going to be put into the net by Iheanacho. Leicester City lead by Goldenhill, and Manchester United have gifted them the opportunity.
We've made that mistake this season 3 or 4 times. They never seem to learn. Passing from the back, it doesn't seem that they can do it, because we always make a mistake and concede goals. We need to win a trophy this season at all. He's gone.
He didn't put kids in. He didn't put young boys who have not played games. He's put in Paul Pogba, Fred, Martial, Greenwood, who scored. Like, it was a proper team they had out. It's just that the other boys, Fernandes and Shaws, have been so good this year, been really pivotal to what Man United have been doing, that it showed when they weren't in the team, I think, and that's ultimately what he's going to end up paying the price for.
Now, Celtic and Rangers players chose to stand instead of taking a knee prior to the Old Firm clash at Parkhead after Rangers midfielder Glenn Kamara claimed he was racially abused by a Slavia Prague player in the Europa League. Kamara's lawyer, Amir Anwar, wants to see the Czech side thrown out of Europe as punishment.
UEFA up until now have made a great deal about wanting to kick racism out of football, you know, showing racism the red card. And what we're saying is that it's time to stop the tokenism and to take a zero tolerance approach. Black players have been saying for a while that they're tired of the tokenism. They want to see this stamped out once and for all. And UEFA's response, sadly, always seems to be that they'll fly the banners, they'll wear the black armbands. They don't actually deliver. The sanctions are minimal. You know, a £75,000, a few hundred thousand pounds fine. That means nothing to the players that have committed these acts and nothing to the actual teams. These teams should be kicked out of championships.
And on The Breakfast Show, Troy Deeney gave his thoughts as to why it's still important that taking a knee is still an option for footballers.
taking the knee certainly helps the conversation. For people that aren't taking the knee, are you doing something to impact within your club? Is your club doing something that can impact and do change? If they say yes, or personally you're doing something, you have every right not to. I think QPR are the perfect example for that. Les Fernand said at the start he was not going to do that. And the reason he wasn't doing that is because their club is the most diverse in the land. So he can literally stand back and say, this is why I'm not doing it, because I'm actually actioning it. I don't feel like a knee warrants what I'm already doing. So there's arguments to be had either way. But personally, I think it is a good sign. It gets kids talking, and we have to impact the younger generation. My son has asked on numerous occasions, why are people taking a knee? And that sparks a conversation, and that is something that is needed. So everybody has their right. And at the start, we said this very clearly. Nobody has to feel like they're forced to take a knee. And that was where the frustration came in, when it got started getting angled and shaped towards politics.
Now, could Spurs make it to the top four? Is Jose Mourinho a busted flush? And could Brendan Rodgers take over as boss at White Hart Lane? Well, here's Troy Deeney and Daniel Murphy. But first up, it's me on Andy Goldstein's Drive Time Show with Darren Goff on the Andy Goldstein Drive Time Show.
Brendan Rodgers has done so well. I think everybody talks about him now. With him, obviously, a very, very good coach. He knows exactly what he's doing. But when you look at the jobs he could probably get in the Premier League, I don't really see anywhere for him. Tottenham, yes, I could see Tottenham being interested in him, but would he want to leave Leicester? As I said, now you've got to put them in one of the big clubs.
No, I don't think it's a step up. I think it would be a job that interests him, because naturally the fans are asking for a certain style of football. They've got young players there, they've got quality players there that he could build and definitely have an imprint on very quickly. But yeah, I don't think he's going to move anytime soon. If you look at Leicester and what they're building, I think they've got the perfect mix.
Goffer, you did say Brendan would see Spurs as a step up from Leicester. You did say that. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
It's a bigger club.
Okay. Would he see it as a step up?
No, that's what I said to you. I just think he'd stay at Leicester over Tottenham. I think the only one that would tempt him is probably
Chelsea. If you were his agent and he said...
Or Manchester United, but Manchester United won't go for
him. If you were Brendan's agent and Spurs came in and he said, what shall I do? Shall I go to the bigger club? What would you say to Brendan Rodgers?
I'd probably tell him to go to Spurs.
I don't want this to be a cyclic situation of bad defeats and then good reactions. We cannot have bad defeats. We can have defeats, not bad defeats.
Mourinho is very adept at using the tools he has. I don't think he can make Tottenham, Man City or Liverpool and play that way with the players he's got. I think he looked at his group of players and he's tried to adapt the way they play to get success. Now, as I said, if Tottenham win that cup against City and finish in the top four, that's a tremendous achievement with that group of players. Now, some will sit here and say he should be doing that with that group of players. Well, no, because that the budget he's had and the squad they've got doesn't compare to some of the clubs he's competing with.
Now, staying with Spurs... sort of. Did Harry Kane cheat to win a penalty for Tottenham against Aston Villa? No, of course not. And here's their former manager, Tim Sherwood, to tell us why.
Matty Cash took his legs from under him in the penalty area. Kane went down. Referee Mike Dean well and truly on the spot and pointed to the spot very quickly.
Yeah, clever play that is. He's bought the contact. You know, he waited for him. See him do it early on the season with Adam Lallana. You know, when he ran into the back of him, he's looking at him, looking where he's coming, making sure he stays in the penalty area and initiates a contact. There's contact. He's entitled to go down. It's not cheating. It's very, very clever play. And yesterday with Matty Cash there, he slides in to block the cross. And Harry just leans in there. He protects the ball. So he thinks, if you're going to win this, you've got to come through me. And he takes him out. And it's a penalty. And when he puts it on the spot, did anyone in the world think he was going to miss? Not me.
It was cute. He didn't dive. I think there was contact, mate. He let the ball run out and he was caught. And he went down and he got a penalty from it. I can understand perhaps maybe it's sour grapes from Liverpool fans, but... Salah has more of a record, I think. And there are United players that have done that. I'm not just picking on Liverpool players. There are United players that have done it, Liverpool players. Everyone does it. But if you're going to dive, you dive. I didn't feel Harry Kane's was a dive. It was inexperience from the defender who made the challenge. The ball was going nowhere. Now, over to Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m, which, of course, was nowhere near as good as it usually is because, well, I wasn't there. In the hot seat was the fun boy, Jason Cundy, and alongside him was Jerry Groves, talking all things... well, football.
So where would you expect West Ham to be? pretty much where we are, but I know we're going to blow it.
David Moyes went in and you might have got relegated and he steadied the ship and made you difficult to beat and his recruitment was good, and if they'd have said to you, you'll be fifth in the Premier League in March, surely begin the season you'd have taken that.
Yeah, but it's not taking into account Liverpool's mayor, Tottenham's mayor, Arsenal's mayor.
Yeah, but that's not...
This is our great chance. This is our chance to get top four. And if we had a Scott Parker or a Brendan Rodgers as manager, I think we'd get there.
George, you saying you want David Moyes gone?
Yeah, we're going to be known as, you know, like Tottenham, the team that nearly won things. We're going to be known as the team that nearly got Champions League.
But George, no one expected you to get Champions League football. If you get European football this season, that is an achievement beyond what you felt was possible at the beginning of the season. Don't be telling porky pies to us, George.
But it's such a great chance to get
I know,
there.
George, but go back to the beginning
we're
of the season, right?
Do it
go back to the beginning of the season.
Because you're where you are because of the manager.
So will Steve Bruce still be the Newcastle manager come the end of the season? It's not looking good after defeat at the weekend to Brighton. We'll get the take of Troy Deeney, Daniel Murphy, but first up, here's the former Palace owner, Moni, Simon Jordan.
Steve is moving to the territory of the red line, i.e., you know, he is in a situation where you're now at the point where, as an owner, you're looking very, very carefully at whether you're better off without him than you are with him.
I'll never, ever give up the fight. For sure, it's not in me. You know, I'll go back to work on Monday morning and work with the players who are still here and get ready for the next challenge.
Of course, 4 or 5 weeks ago, to certain groups of Newcastle fans, the reasons why they beat Everton was because of Graham Jones. The reasons why they beat Southampton was because of Graham Jones's inclusion. And they will have a closed mind. I look at the Newcastle perspective, and you are in a territory now where Steve has not done enough. The players aren't good enough, to my view, but he, as a manager, has made choices at times and decisions and said things in the media that I would be uncomfortable for him to have said.
I've not seen a group of players not trying. I've seen a group of players who are really struggling for confidence and lacking in quality. I talked earlier in the season, give Steve Bruce a little support regarding the position they were in. They were in a reasonable position in the league. And I do think that if they'd kept Wilson and Maximum fit, they probably wouldn't be in the problems they are. But since then, I have to say I've kept an eye on Newcastle. And although they've had the injuries, their level of performance has been really poor. There was a little bit of improvement for a few weeks. But then since they've come up against quality opposition, they've been really poor.
And a brilliant volley from Neil Mopay to rub more salt into Newcastle wounds.
For years now at Newcastle, there's been a lot of uncertainty around the ownership and transfers, and it's all coming to the forefront now, isn't it? When you've got Callum Wilson injured, St. Maximin injured, there's not that much depth there. I think if I was a Newcastle fan, I'd be just disappointed that I don't really know how we're going to take games on, how we're going to go and win games. It feels like as long as we don't lose, then we'll be all right. There's enough games so we don't lose, we'll be okay. That's the kind of feeling I get from it.
Now, Great Britain's Lawrence Okolie delivered a punch-perfect display before landing a six-round knockout of his opponent to become WBO World Cruiserweight Champion. He joined Wyatt and Jordan to tell them this was just the first stop on his journey to going down in history.
Obviously, there's still a lot for me to learn. I'm really happy to have won this world title. Such a big occasion. But I feel like I want to do more. I want to do that unprecedented thing or stuff that, you know, puts me down in the history books forever and ever. I'm in the history books as a world champion, but I want to be like the world, unified. I need to really get to work and get it done.
I'm looking to my right and Lawrence is having trouble as to how to position his computer to do this Zoom chat. Lawrence, you're settled. You're fine, mate. I can see you. I love it. Now, yeah, you've managed to do it. We were looking at the ceiling of your living room a moment ago. We saw the floor. Yeah. I think you're in the loo with it, but you've sat down.
Oh, my goodness.
Lawrence, yeah, compose yourself. Oh, mate.
That's it for another podcasty thing. Don't forget, of course, the first ODI between England and India is live and exclusive today over on TalkSport 2. It's live and exclusive from 7:30 a.m. Yeah, I know I said the word live and exclusive twice. That's because producer Tom wrote it that way. And I, very much like Ron Burgundy, read what he's written for me.
Oh, great.
great Odin's Raven.
That's it. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app or wherever you get your Poddingtons from. I'm back on Andy Goldstein's Drive Time show at 4 p.m. today alongside Super Charlie Austin. I can't wait for that. It's going to be great. There will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily Podcasts out first thing in the morning, so do what you've got to do to get it. Until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.